doesn't have any yet.
Hello?
Hello?
How are you?
I don't know. Tired and hurting for right now. But they've gone to Galveston until tomorrow, so I'm going to try to rest this afternoon.
Understand. I'm sorry you're in pain. I'm sorry you're hurting.
Well, me too. Because I think when I'm really occupied, I can focus off of it.
Okay.
And so when I stop, you know, then
good
I feel it.
Now.
So I have to get back in that mode, you know, the mode where you just don't let the pain come through.
I vaguely remember that, like every hour on the hour.
Yeah.
Okay. Where are we in the advanced reincarnation? Is it chapter 18 or chapter 19?
Well, my last one was chapter 18, but I looked at the recordings, and the recordings on June the 10th, you were on class 23, chapter 20, section 1. That was the recording. So so I would suppose if you really did do the others, because I know definitely I missed last week. And it would be chapter 20, section 2.
Okay.
I was reading where I stopped, which was May the 27th, on chapter 18, verse section 3. And, you know, it was the names of Hashem that equal Yavok. It's a real good. And I thought, well, I was trying to see what I would have to read, you know, to catch up. It was wonderful. You know, I remember it was a real good lesson, that chapter 18.
So it's section 2. I didn't put up the link, but if you go to class 23, it goes to chapter 20, section 1. As I remember,
right.
We
That's
didn't do this. We didn't do this yet, correct?
Well, it's on your recordings. That was how I checked to see where you were, since I had missed several classes. So you have a recording with class 23.
Yeah, That recording is actually the missing one that we were talking about, because what happened was that was when I had the computer problem and I went a whole week without putting up the recordings, and then I've all put them up later and I made a few mistakes in those. So
okay.
That particular recording is chapter 19.
Okay, should be.
I remember. Yeah. So if you go to class number 3 on the handouts, class 23 on the handouts, it'll be the first and second soulmates in chapter 20, section 1. We have not done that yet.
All right. Tell me again. Chapter what?
It's class number 23, chapter 20, section 1.
Okay.
And if you can change, well, I'll change the recording.
Okay. I've held my hand up.
Okay. Malka, are you ready as well?
Yes, sir, I'm ready.
Okay. So, First and Second Soulmates is the title of the section, and it starts out with my commentary. This chapter 20 has a significant amount of material, In my opinion, there is information and mental structure that must be put into place in order to understand this information. I am in a quandary as to put this information at the end of Section 1 or to have it read prior to Section 1. I'm going to put it in front of the section, and then I am going to remind you to read this again at the end of the section. I believe somebody else came on.
Brandy.
Hello, Brandy.
Hello.
So, we're in class number 23, which is starting with section, or chapter 20, section 1. The Zohar and the Sha'arei Gilgulim teach that women do not have to reincarnate. To understand why this is true, one needs to understand that a woman by herself is incomplete, just as a man is incomplete when he has not mated. A man and a woman are only a complete soul when they have married and mated and brought two children, a boy and a girl. If they have married and mated and brought two boys or two girls, they are not complete and are not referred to as a completed soul. When a soul comes down to the physical plane, Hashem splits it into two parts, one male and one female. The location of the split within the soul may change from one generation to another. This location may also be relative to the individual soul. In this current generation, I am not aware of anyone able to know where that split occurs for an individual soul or even for the generation. We are speaking of the soul level of Nefesh, yet the above statements apply to all levels of souls. In my opinion, there is a difference between what the Ari teaches and what applies to this generation, due to the idea of the prophecy of Isaiah of the female growing to the level of the male, and then the two in unity growing sevenfold. Yet the overall teachings of the Ari still apply, even in this generation. Sometimes these two teachings appear to be in conflict, yet they are not in conflict, in my opinion. A woman is created as a helpmate to and for the man. The Hebrew word for helpmate can be understood also as an obstacle to be overcome. The sages of the Talmud explain that when a man is doing his spiritual work properly, his wife, his spouse, his woman, proceeds to support and help him. When he is not doing his spiritual work, she is an obstacle which cannot be overcome unless he starts to do his spiritual work. To understand this male-female relationship, we must understand what happens differently when they leave the world from a particular incarnation. A man who has not studied Torah goes to Gehinnom and is cleansed until he is pure. He then goes to the Garden of Eden and awaits until it is time for him to return in a reincarnated form. He returns because his tikkun is not complete. He cannot complete his tikkun until he studies Torah or chooses some other reason for him to change himself. In essence, tikkun can only be completed through the changes caused by the Hebrew letters through Torah study. This is my opinion. A man who has studied Torah is protected from going to Gehinnom, or hell. A woman who has studied Torah is also protected by the Torah from going to Gehinnom. This only happens in our generation. meaning the last 100 or so years. A woman who does not study Torah is cleansed in Gehinnom and goes to the Garden of Eden totally pure. When a man comes down to the physical world to effect his tikkun, and part of this process is to give him his tikkun baggage, to complete his tikkun, that is potentially possible to complete in this lifetime. If he were to come down with this spiritual work, and the woman came down with no spiritual work to do, there would be no affinity between male and female at all. This is because the distance between a soul that is pure and a soul that has sullied itself with actions that need tikkun is too great to attract the two to come together. This is because male and female are that different from each other. When a woman comes down, she also receives part of the tikkun that she shares with her soulmate. She receives a level of this tikkun that leaves her slightly spiritually higher than the male. This is so that the work is unequal, since she went through Gehinnom and he did not. In today's generation, the tikkun she receives may include the tikkun that she created for herself as well. Yet she will always start out slightly higher than the male. There are souls that have never been incarnated since Adam. I need you to be quiet, please. They are few and far between. When these souls come down, the physical separation between male and female is significantly less. This is why Cain and Abel had twin sisters. This is why that was true until the generation after the flood. Then the tikkun required it to be more difficult for the two halves, male and female, to find themselves together. There is a promise to the female that she will constantly receive her marital pleasures unless that is part of her tikkun. She receives from the sexual component of the male tikkun. Please hold on a second. I need you to be quiet. In the introduction to chapter 9, we discussed whether or not women reincarnate as men do. Regarding this topic in the first chapter of Sota in the Talmud, in reference to the verse, God settles the individuals into a house. He releases those bound in fetters. This is a verse from Psalms. The sages speak of a first and second soulmate. I am adding, actually, the first soulmate term and the second soulmate term are inaccurate. It is just describing if the male has reincarnated before and had the merit to meet his soulmate in his last lifetime or not. If yes, it is called a first soulmate. If not, it is called a second soulmate. A second soulmate is born physically distant from the male. That is the idea of the five signs of a soulmate as taught by the Ari later in the Sefer. One of those signs is that the second soulmate is required to cross an ocean, either a physical ocean or a spiritual, emotional ocean. They could be living right next to each other and yet never think of each other as potential mates. Pairing people is as difficult as the splitting of the Yam Suf. Hence, when it says pairing people is as difficult as the splitting of the Red Sea, the Yam Suf, It refers to the second soulmate. However, the understanding of a first and second soulmate cannot be according to the simple definition, since in many instances we see that the second marriage is better than the first. Rather, we learn the explanation from the Sabha of Mishpatim on the verse, if he was married, then his wife will go out with him. That is, when a person is new and in the world for the first time, then his soulmate is born with him. And when it comes time to marry, they arrange, heaven arranges the moment, making it simple for them to meet. As the Talmud says, before a man is born, it is declared in heaven who he will marry. However, the Ari explains that this refers to when he comes into the world the first time, and it is only during this lifetime that heaven arranges events to make the finding and marrying of one's soulmate as simple as possible. However, if a man sins and needs to reincarnate as a result, then the verse, his wife will go out with him, applies to him. As it says in the Sabha of Mishpatim, that is, she will reincarnate as well for his good. Nevertheless, when the time comes to get married, they will not assist them, and he will only succeed after great effort. Since he was forced to reincarnate as a result of his sin, there will be those who will accuse him and want to prevent her from being available to him, and they will cause fighting. It is a test of faith to plow forward nonetheless and seek Hashem from amidst the concealment. Providence will not openly work in his favor, since he has returned as a result of previous sins, which create accusers who work against him. Truthfully, in such case, Hashem is also working to help the person, but in a hidden manner. It is a test of faith to plow forward, nonetheless, and seek Hashem from amidst the concealment. This is what it means when it says, pairing people is as difficult as the splitting of the Yam Suf. It is a reference to the second Zivug. Hold on a second.
If you can't stop, if you got stop. But if you're able to control it, you walk with the step.
This is what it means when it says, pairing people is as difficult as the splitting of the Yam Suf. It is a reference to the second Zivug. Hence, in actuality, she is his real soulmate, whom he has already married in his previous Gilgul, and thus now, in this new Gilgul, it is their second Zivug. In other words, she herself is the first wife, but it is the second time she is marrying him. This is why it does not say the second soulmate, Zivug Sheni, but rather the second time pairing. The former would refer to a different wife and not the same woman herself. Thus it can happen that a man can marry a woman quickly and without any difficulty or argument. Yet another man may fight the entire time with his future wife until the marriage, after which time there is finally peace, proving that she is indeed his soulmate, but that it was the second Zivug. Only had there been no peace after marriage could we assume that she is not his Zivug. And I'm explaining that Zivug means soulmate. It actually means intercourse. I'm mentioning now, this is the end of the section, I'm mentioning now that we should read the commentary above in order to reconcile anything in section one with what I said in my commentary. We've completed section one. Does anybody have any questions? I can't believe there's no questions on this section.
Well, I was trying to figure out whether this was the first Sabuk or a second Sabuk.
I will have to play and replay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know with Tony, he was stationed in Germany. You know, when I met him through his parents.
So he came back here, or you went over there to meet him?
Oh, my mama wouldn't let me. My daddy made me come home at 10:30 every night, even when he was home. no,
but
he was stationed in Germany. I missed what you said.
I said you did cross an ocean.
Yeah, he did. And then he came home to meet me in person for a month. And we went out, you know, every day, but I had to be home at 10:30. And before
right.
he left, you know, he proposed to me. And then he was gone from November to August. And then he came home for good. And we got married in January. But he actually would come to the house. He was friends with a cousin of mine, which I didn't know, and he was also friends with the young man that lived across the street from me. You know, they would play cards, and I would be in the bedroom learning to sew. The lady across the street was teaching me how to sew, and I never paid any attention to them. They were in the kitchen, and I was in the bedroom, and then I'd leave. I never actually met him or saw him. But yet he'd come across the street sometimes. I didn't find that out until we met. And he was stationed in the Army, and Mom and Daddy wouldn't let me go, you know, to Germany. We had to wait. So, and here we are, 59 and almost 60 years later. So how that all fits in this chapter, I don't know. I'll have to reread it and think about it.
Well, as you were speaking of it, it was explaining that you'd been married before, and it was that much very difficult to get back together. That's why, you know, you were in the same house, but you didn't know he was there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll let you go through your own process
Okay. I always thought of it as like Isaac and Rebecca. You know? Oh, gosh. All I know is that Sean took care of this, and everything worked out fine. So.
Well, Christian. Malka, you were saying something?
Yeah, I thought it was that you couldn't remarry your same spouse. Once you were married,
in this lifetime,
but that's
if you
divorce.
If you get divorced, and you can't remarry her, and I think that's only if she's become remarried, but I'm not sure. I don't remember that exactly. But yes, it has to do with this lifetime. This
mm-hmm.
section that we're reading is talking about two different lifetimes.
Okay. That's a lot of information. Good information. Great information.
It is a lot of information, and it's can be overwhelming.
What happens?
That's why I was.
If we have another lifetime, if we have another lifetime, does it mean we still marry the same person?
Well, if you have another lifetime, it would indicate that you have more tikkun to complete.
Together?
So, well,
or one or the other.
That's the question. That's the question. If you both reincarnate and you marry each other again, it's an indication that you have a tikkun with each other that needs to be completed before you can move on. And one of the reasons for the high divorce rate in this generation is because there's a lot of tikkunim from previous marriages that have to be completed so that people can move on and finally meet their soulmate. They have to cleanse all of the relationships with the previous spouses.
So if you were married to a person, let's say for 10 years, and then you divorce, was that the period of time you were supposed to stay with that spouse before you moved on? And you know, things settled, you don't want to go back, you don't have any interest in going back. So when you were in that relationship for 10 years, was that a correction for either or, the male or the female counterpart, whichever that may be? And then you move on.
Well, let's start over with some assumptions that you made that aren't accurate. One specifically, you did not have to be married to that person for 10 years. Because as soon as the tikkun is complete between the two of you, you can move on. But let's make the assumption now, go back to what you said and said you're married to somebody for a length of time. Let's not specify the length of time.
Okay.
And when the marriage is ending, you're getting divorced, it's an amicable divorce. There's no indication later that you wanted to go back and get back together, or there may be a few thoughts like that, but they're not really serious thoughts. It's an indication that your tikkun with that person is over and it's time to move on for both of you. But if the divorce is rancorous, it would be an indication that you get to marry that person one more time in the next lifetime. And it may, God forbid, be more than one more time. Depends on whether you can achieve the tikkun that is necessary in the marriage, within the marriage. The other assumption that you made in your description was the woman is totally cleansed in Gehinom. She has no more tikkun to do on her own. So what is happening? If she has no more tikkun to do on her own, how does she come back into the world at a level that has tikkun? It's because she is accepting the tikkun that he has to do and saying, okay, as long as I'm in the world, I'm going to help him speed the process by correcting some of the things that are his. But I'm going to do it because it speeds the process. So she accepts that level of tikkunim. And this can help to explain the idea of a a man having, God forbid, raped a woman, now he has that to correct between the two souls, the two half souls. But she may accept that she may accept that part of the tikkun with respect to another man who was the soulmate of the woman that he raped. So it's possible that she's accepting that tikkun upon herself as part of the acceptance of the things he has to make tikkun for. Now, don't get bothered with that idea that it's not, you know, that she is causing it. She's not. No woman is inviting herself to be raped. But on a soul level, it can be understood that way. I don't know if another person came on or somebody who's just rejoining us because they got kicked off.
Yeah, this is Malka. I got kicked off.
Okay. So I guess you weren't supposed to hear what I just said, but you can listen to the recording if you want.
Maybe I shouldn't listen to it if I get kicked off. I'm not sure.
All I know is my backache's going. So when I started, I had a terrible backache. It's not hurting anymore. So whatever you did, you did good.
Maybe it was just Lahana. Her backache. Oh, I don't know. The strength, it just dropped right when you were trying to explain the rape situation. I don't know.
Right. And I'm not sure I was explaining it clearly or properly, so.
No, I didn't hear any of it.
Well, that's probably good.
Okay.
So should I go on to the next section, or do you want to take the break now and we'll come back to it next week?
Sure. Yeah, it was a lot of information.
Yeah, there is a lot of information in this, and it's a subject that people find very intriguing. So.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon,
I know with my grandson.
What about your grandson?
Well, he was married 5 years. It was a girl that was from Macedonia. And I really think that they married so that she could stay and not go back to Macedonia. And I think he had hoped that the marriage would work out. They got along well and all, but at the end of 5 years, they divorced. They paid all the bills off. They divided up the student loans. She got into a relationship and had a baby, and he brought her to the hospital. And then after that, you know, after they cleared all their business on good terms, well, he left town. You know, he left. They were living in Austin. And he stayed with us about 6 months, and then he moved on to New Orleans. And then last October, he married again. But I thought that was, that was the most civil divorce I've ever heard of, you know. It doesn't have anything to do with, you know, it's not actually, I don't know, I think it's a part of something in this. for them to stay together that long and be so civil when they did divorce, you know.
Understand. So
could
that,
he,
that's
could
clearly
he have been helping her?
I'm sorry?
Could he have been helping her? In other words, instead of the, I mean, we don't know, but instead of the female being the one to help the male in his cocoon, could it have been the other way around?
Well, the answer is the female was helping the male because the cocoon was between your grandson and the father of the baby.
Okay. And the father of the baby. Okay. Okay. The thing is, during that period of
lifetime,
time,
in a previous lifetime, your grandson may have fathered a child with the woman that the other man was married to in that earlier lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very interesting. A lot to ponder.
Lots to ponder. It's also not something that we can know until we leave the physical world. So.
Right, right. And that's why we can't judge or say, oh, well, this is the way it is, you know.
Right. It just will become what it is.
Okay.
Brandy, you haven't been heard from.
Who, me? Oh, I'm just listening.
Okay. So are there any other questions, or we're just going to leave this subject right now, and we'll come back to it next week if you have questions.
Okay.
If the divorce was not a good one, you know, if they were not in a good relationship, does that mean another reincarnation and having to meet again?
More than likely.
That means you're going to remarry the same man that you had a terrible relationship with?
More than likely.
Oh, my goodness.
And there's nothing you can do while you're in this lifetime to correct it.
There's always things you can do. It's called teshuvah.
Yeah.
You can correct it through teshuvah at any time.
Almost everyone I know that has divorced, it's always been an unpleasant. I mean, this was the first time I saw in the years that I've been married that I remember that any of the persons I knew when they divorced, it was an unpleasant thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've, you know, somebody would ask you to counsel them, you know, I'll refer them to you. I won't attempt it.
I always counsel with a very simple statement. You're either going to get it right this time, or you're going to have to go through it again. Only it'll be more harder. It'll be much harder.
Yeah.
So do the teshuvah.
Okay.
You know what they always say, third time is the charm.
I haven't heard that because you know, I only have friends who've been married 5 and 6 times. I'm joking.
Well, at least they kept trying, right?
They always kept trying.
So there was another statement. Well, go ahead. I thought y'all were finished.
My question is this teaching false for yourself or for the person that you married that you did not have a good relationship with? Because I thought the woman would come down to correct the male. So,
A woman cannot correct a male. She can only help. She can help by being supportive, or she can help by being a blockage.
Well, what if she was both?
There's no coercion in spirituality. The man has to make his own free choice decision to change himself.
Okay.
So if he doesn't change himself, is it likely that the woman would say next go round? She doesn't choose to help to go down with him this time.
The next round, she may say, "I don't want to come down."
Mm-hmm. So then, another woman would be his second soulmate.
Yes, Not another woman would be his second soulmate, but another woman would take on the responsibility of cleansing them.
Okay. There was a statement about if a couple had 2 boys or 2 girls and not a boy and a girl, that they weren't complete. I don't quite understand that, what that means. Does that mean they
ultimately, it means that the part of the tikkun, part of the world, word be fruitful and multiply, is that you need to bring a boy and a girl. You have to replace yourselves. That's at a minimum. So if you have 2 boys, you haven't replaced yourself. If you have 2 girls, you haven't replaced yourself. So you'll have to come down and bring a child in that incarnation.
Okay.
Remember
I'm glad I had a boy and a girl, so that takes care of that. Okay.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you stopped it and asked, you know, made the statement that you were surprised we didn't have any questions, because I think we would have gone on because we were still pondering in our heads what we were reading and hearing. Yes.
I'm just reminding you, Hannah, I'm not sure you heard it from the earlier class that we're doing the Tikkun Chatzot for Rachel at noon West Coast time every day during the 3 weeks.
Right. I don't know if I'm going to be able to participate.
I did hear I was able
to make class today. Yeah. But I've got to teach her how to make challah. She wants to learn how to make my challah. That's what she got. So, and she's a good cook. She's very mature for 13 years. I feel like I've got another woman, you know, in the house. She's not at all acting like a 13-year-old. So.
Well, for sure.
Yeah. But if at all I can, I will.
All right. you all have a good evening, a good afternoon, and we'll speak soon. Shalom to all.
Okay.
Shalom.
Thank you. Bye, y'all.
Bye, Sandy. Bye.
Bye, Malka. Bye, Anna.
Bye.
Bye, Brandy.
Bye.